book of 2 Peter chapter 1. Before we read this chapter here, I want you to know that Peter lets it be known that he's soon going to put off his old tabernacle of clay and be moving on out of this life. And he has some things to say in this short book here that is of great importance to the church. And this particular chapter we're going to look at tonight, there's about three things that I want you to notice in here. It's the fact of grace and growing and getting grounded. And so you keep that in mind as we bring the message tonight. You know, if we don't grow as Christians, then we've perverted the whole purpose of God's calling us. He wants us to grow into maturity and be of some service and use to Him. Now, it'd be pathetic if all of us as adults were sitting around with a pacifier in our mouth, wouldn't it? Never grown out of being a baby. Well, the Christian life's the same way. When we get saved, when we get birthed into the family of God, we're babies. And we start out on the milk of the Word, and we gradually grow. You don't just get saved and all of a sudden you're a mature Christian. It's a process of growing and learning and getting the knowledge that Peter speaks about in this chapter right here. And not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is what he's talking about here. So we'll get into the reading of the Word of God right here in chapter number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I'll not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I'll endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. And let's skip down to verse number 19. For we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Brother Adam, would you pray? Yes, Lord. God bless. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Tonight, as we look at this chapter right here, I want you to notice some things that Peter had to say to you and me. And let's see if we can apply some things to our life and maybe leave here a little different, a little closer to God and more determined to serve Him than when we came in this place. I want to preach on this thought tonight, that we need to get grace. We need to get to growing. We need to get grounded. Amen? Now, grace is unmerited favor with God, and we certainly need that in our life in the day that we live, don't we? Amen. Notice this right here. It was a call by grace, not just for Peter, but for each one of us. I thank God that He called me one day by His grace. I mean, He didn't come by me, and He didn't come by you and see somebody that was good. He didn't see somebody that He thought He'd make a real good Christian friend, but he saw somebody that was needing mercy. And thank God there's mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always been mercy in Christ, and I thank God for grace tonight. That when He looked at me, friend, He seen a needy person. He didn't see nobody good. He didn't see nothing good in me, I know. Friend, I wasn't looking for Him, but thank God, by grace, He came a-looking for me, and I heard His call one day. Thank God, there was a call by grace, and thank God, there was some faith that went with it. Now, listen to me. I wasn't a Bible scholar. I didn't know a thing in the world about Him, but I thank God as we've studied in the Word of God that He's given unto every man a measure of faith. Now, listen to me. It don't take a whole lot of faith, I don't believe, to get saved. You just got to realize you're lost, got to realize He'll save you, and call upon Him and believe that He will. And I thank God that He saves lost sinners tonight. First of all, I want you to notice, friend, what Peter had to say right here in verse number 1. He said, to them that have obtained like precious faith. And I want you to notice, friend, the obtaining of faith. And he called it precious faith. Now, old Peter, let me just use him for an example for a minute. Peter was a rough old boy, I believe. Now, if you run up against old Peter, you might have run up on him, heard him cussing. If you got in a fight with him, he might have pulled out a blade and cut you with it. He was just that kind of feller, I believe. But Peter, looking back at the person that he used to be and the person that he is now, friend, he said, thank God that I've obtained a precious faith. And faith is precious today. I'm glad today I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I hadn't been derailed into believing some damnable heresy somewhere. I'm glad I ain't following Muhammad today or Confucius, or I'm glad I ain't no atheist today, but I know that my Redeemer lives today. And I'm glad that I can say that I thank God for the precious faith that He gave me to call on His name one day. Oh, listen to the obtaining of faith. It's a precious faith. Let's turn back in the book of St. Matthew chapter number 4 as we're using old Peter right here, his life for an example. Let's just look at his calling right here. In the book of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus is calling His first disciples right here. And look what happens. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. You see, this obtaining of faith and the call by grace, friend, it came by hearing. Hearing. Ain't you glad that Jesus spoke to you one day? I'm not talking about an audible voice, but He spoke to you in your heart, and you was able to realize you was lost, and you realized He said, come. And thank God that that's the way it's still working today, friend. Jesus passed by, and He called him. He said, follow me, and I'll make you to be fishers of men. The call came from Jesus Himself, friend. Come after me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He's still saying, come today to lost sinners. Come, come, come. Well, listen, ain't you glad Jesus said, there ain't nothing you got to do but just realize you're a sinner. And just come. There ain't nothing you got to do. There ain't nothing you got to recite. But just Just come to Jesus. He'll forgive you and save you. What a Savior He is. Oh, listen to me, friend. It's amazing to me now, as rough a man as old Peter was, and probably Andrew, his brother there, about as rough, but Jesus just come by one day. He looked at them. They was working with their fishing equipment right there that day, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers, it says. Jesus said, follow me. In Mark's gospel, he said, come, come. And they followed him. Ain't it amazing how Jesus can get your attention? You remember the day that he saved you, how he got your attention? All the time, other times that you just casually going through life, but all of a sudden one day he called you by his grace and said, come. And by faith you stepped out and went to him. Well, listen to me, friend. He's still calling lost sinners today. It's a call by grace. Listen, he came by hearing, and he came by him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came by heeding the word. Listen to me. Without faith, you'll never heed the word of God. But thank God that Peter said, I obtained that precious faith through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and heeded that call. Thank God for people that'll heed the call, the call to come. Straightway, the Bible says, they throwed all their stuff aside and they followed him. They heeded the call. That's the way salvation works today too, ain't it? The call by grace. But now notice this, a command to grow, friend. He says in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now listen, friend. Jesus wants us to be growing. I appreciate you coming out to church on a Wednesday night. But listen to me, friend. You're not going to get everything you need here at the church house. You're going to have to get in the Word of God and do some studying on your own. You're going to have to get in your prayer closet. You're going to have to do some praying, friend. If you don't, you're going to remain just a baby in Christ. And or you're going to be like somebody anemic, friend. It's weak and sickly. And you ain't going to be no good for nothing. Listen to me. Jesus wants to see you growing. And He wants you to grow up quickly, friend, into something that He can use in His kingdom's work here on earth, friend. So we got orders, friend, to go forward, hadn't we? Amen? Jesus didn't tell Peter and his brother there, Andrew, that day. He didn't say, just keep doing what you do and I'll be back by here in a day or two. No, He said, follow me. In other words, get in this thing and let's go. That's what God expects out of you and me. He wants us to get in here with both feet and get to going for Him and get to work for Him. And that's exactly what they were willing to do. Now notice some things that He's given you and me right here to help us along this way. In verse number 3, He mentions, as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, friend. We've got a power, friend, that'll help us if we'll be willing to get in this thing and go for God, to go forward for Him. Because He told us over in John chapter number 16, when the Spirit of God comes, He'll guide you into all truth. Has He ever spoken to you and helped you out along when you're studying the Word of God, when you're praying, when you're doing something for Him, friend? He'll empower you. He says it's a divine power. It's a power from on high, friend. In Acts chapter number 1, He said, hey, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you're going to receive power and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth, friend. We've got that divine power. Oh, listen to me, friend. But it's up to us to pray for the filling of that power. It's up to us to be obedient to the guidance of that power, friend. It's too often in our lives we're lazy. Hey, let me tell you something. If we worked on our jobs like we work for Christ, we'd probably get fired. Amen? Because most of the time, friend, we want to say no, let somebody else do it. We say, oh, I can't do that, friend. But listen, if I went into my job and sat down to work, friend, and they brought me some teeth in there to make, and I said, well, I can't do that. I wouldn't be much use, you know, why would I want to sit there? Why would they want to keep me in that place of employment? Now, Jesus expects us. He's given us a divine power, friend. We don't have to go it alone. He's with us every step of the way. You get into the Word of God and you study and ask God. Ask Him to guide you in the Word. Ask Him to feed you out of the Word of God. And I promise you, He'll do it. If you've got a hunger, friend, He'll fill it. Amen. He'll do it for you. Not only a divine power, but look at verse number 4 right here, friend. We've got a divine nature. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Divine nature. I saw something in studying this right here that I've never noticed before. You notice old Peter up here. If you look back in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But you'll notice right here in this second epistle from Peter right here, he says, Simon Peter. Now, we've got a divine nature living within us. But notice Peter goes back and he names the old man that he used to be. We've got two natures within us. We've got the old man still living within us, but we've got the new man. We've got the divine man that lives within us. And let me tell you something, friend. We have an option every day of our lives to go with the old nature, to follow the old man, to do the old things, or we have an option to go with this divine nature, this new creation, the new man that Christ has birthed into us, and to follow Him. It's a battle between flesh and spirit. It's amazing to me that he named himself Simon Peter. You better not forget the old man that's living in you. You better crucify him day by day, because he's going to always rear up his ugly head, cause you to do things that you shouldn't do. Now, Peter's a good example, ain't he? When he turned his back on the Lord, he got off at the wrong fire there that night and began to cuss. When they came to take the Lord, he's quick to whoop out a knife and go to cutting somebody. Boy, this old man, we have a battle with him day by day. He'll rear up. He don't rear up too bad here at the church house, but he will tomorrow. You watch him tomorrow. Hey, he don't want you to follow God. He don't want you to follow this divine nature that God's put within you. Well, he wants to pop his head. He wants you to follow him. So you have an option, friend. It's a divine power and a divine nature. God's given us all that we need to be successful, to be a great Christian. Amen. He's given us everything we need to do a great work for the life that He's given us down here on earth. It's up to us. Notice this. Not only a divine power, a divine nature, but a diligent effort. A diligent effort. He says, beside this, giving all diligence. In other words, now it's up to you. God has done His part. God has done His part. And it's going to be up to you and up to me, friend, to apply these things in our life. He says there ought to be a diligent effort on my behalf and on your behalf to serve Him and to do what He wants us to do in life. Now, Peter, this introduction here in chapter number 1 right here, it jumps into chapter number 2 and he starts speaking about false teachers. False teachers. Now, understand that Peter was saying here that we need to grow so we'll know how to combat false teaching. So we'll know the truth from a lie. And there's so many people today that call themselves Christians that have followed some damnable doctrine and they've got off into some cult somewhere. And maybe they say, maybe they ain't. I don't know, friend, but I do know one thing. There's a lot of false junk out in the world today. A lot of it. And you better know what this word right here says, friend, because you don't know when somebody gets up in a pulpit, gets on the radio or preaching and claim to be a preacher, claim to know the Word of God, and they start preaching and teaching junk that don't line up with this Bible, you ought to know within yourself whether they're a liar or not. You ought to be able to recognize falsehoods. And that's what Peter, he said, I'm fixing to leave this world, friend, but I want you to grow into a mature Christian and keep this thing a-going. That's what it's going to take. We need maturity in our Christian lives, in our Christian walk, in our knowledge, in our relationship with Christ, friend. So there needs to be a diligent effort in our command to grow. Now look, there's a cause to grow. The objective, friend, is fruitfulness. God wants us to bear fruit. I don't have to go back over into one of the Gospels and show you over in the book of John. He's the vine, we're the branches, and we're to bear fruit. He's given us all the power. He's given us everything we need to bear much fruit. But it's up to us. It's up to us. There's a cause. The objective is fruitfulness. Now notice right here, verse 5. He says, beside all this, giving all diligence, he says, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge. Now I'm not going to get into each one of these things right here, but you study it out when you have time. But he said right here, add. Notice that little word, add, right there. And he goes and he names about 7 or 8 different things. It requires a diligent effort on my part and on your part to add these things. Amen? Now, if you're cooking something at home, say you're going to fry some chicken. You get your grease ready and you get your chicken battered and you just sit there and watch your grease boil. You don't ever add the chicken to the pot. You ain't going to come up with nothing, are you? Listen, Peter is saying right here, if you're going to grow in Christ, you need to realize the divine power you have, the divine nature you have, but you're going to have to put forth a diligent effort. And he says, now I'm going to give you some things right here to add to the faith that you have. Now look. He says, add these things. And then in verse 8, notice this. He says, for if these things be in you. You got to apply. You got to apply some things. Add it to you. Work on some areas in your life right here that he mentions right here. Knowledge, virtue, temperance, or self-control. Anybody got a problem with self-control? Patience. Godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, or love. Boy, there's some areas right here that we can all work on, ain't there? Amen. And he says you better get to adding them to your life, friend, and you better get to applying them. And that word if, for if these things be in you. Is there any of these things right here that I just named that's not in you? Is any of those things that I just named right here that's a weak place in your Christian life? Do you have brotherly love? Do you have kindness one to another? Listen, friend. Yeah, well, do you love the Lord like you ought to? Do you love the church? Jesus loved it and He gave Himself for it. He gave Himself for you and me. He's commanded us that we love one another. So listen to me. I think there's some places that we could all add some of these principles to our life, friend, and apply them. That big if right there. If's a big word, isn't it? If. You ever been in a situation where you said, well, if I'd have just done it this way, or if I'd have done this, things would have been different. Oh, me. Wouldn't it be sad to stand before the Lord one day and have Him to say, if you'd applied the Word of God to your life, you'd have got a crown. If you had applied this Word of God, you wouldn't suffer loss now through the fire. Amen. Listen to me, friend. Add these principles, apply the principles. Not only that, but he noticed in verse 8 and 9, if you do these things, you'll have an abundant production. An abundant production. He says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, there's a promise right there. If you will apply yourself to the things you need to grow right here, he said, you'll neither be barren and you will not be unfruitful. These are promises that God has given us right here. And he says in verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Y'all want to know, would you like to have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of heaven? Would you like for the Lord to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? I don't want to have to go in with my head hung down, do you? Amen. I want to do what I can. God bless me this day with life and breath and health. I bless His name for it. And I want to give Him praise and glory. And I want Him to use me. Amen. We ought to all have that kind of attitude. Because we could be up here at the funeral home. You know that? And lastly, this. Call by grace, command to grow, a cause to grow, but the comfort of being grounded. I want you to notice something right here. The comfort of being grounded. Knowing what you believe in. And having full confidence that your Redeemer lives, that you're saved. Notice what he says in verse 10. He says, whither the rather, brethren. He says, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, he's speaking to brethren, he says in that verse right there. Notice this, friend. A lot of places in our lives where we get ineffective, where we get defeated, it's simply because we don't have the knowledge that we need. It's simply because we hadn't studied like we should. And for these reasons, friend, we get into a place where we go to doubting our salvation. And the devil will have a heyday in your mind and in your life when doubt comes in. He'll steal your shout. He'll steal your testimony. You'll be mealy-mouthed. You won't be able to witness to nobody because you got doubt in your life. And Peter is telling us right here, friend, the reason we get in a place of doubt in our life because we hadn't applied the Word of God. We hadn't grown into a mature Christian. We're still babies. He said, if you apply this stuff, he said, whether the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, he said in verse 5, giving all diligence to add these things. If you'll add these things, then, friend, you'll be a stronger Christian. And your faith will be stronger. And he said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. You'll never fall. He ain't talking about losing your salvation. He's talking about doubt and defeat. As a Christian, he's speaking to brethren right there in that verse. Now, the comfort of being grounded. We have an omnipotent foundation, friend. Almighty. All-powerful. A foundation, friend, if we'll just build upon it, it's unshakable. It's firm. I'm talking about, friend, the Word of God. The living Word of God. And the written Word of God. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got His Word right here that's infallible. It's inerrant. It's alive. It'll pierce to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart, friend. We ought to handle it with care. We ought to love it. We ought to live by it, friend. We ought to study it every day. We ought to pray the Scriptures that's in this Bible right here, friend. These are the words of life. These are the words of God that He's given us, friend. And He wants us to get in it. And He wants us to feed off of it. And He wants us to grow. And He wants to use us. Amen. Don't be a little old mealy-mouthed, anemic Christian. Too many people get saved and they stay in that same little baby position all their life. They come down to the end of the way and they're scared. They don't know what they believe in, and they just live. They've wasted their life away. Lived a defeated life. Grow in the Word, and grow in the work. Grow in the Word, and grow in the work. And I'm closing with this verse, verse 9. Notice what he said. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's a pitiful shape to be in, ain't it? You need to grow up. Grow up. Be mature. I thank God for the Word of God tonight. Thank God I can feed out of the Word of God. He has something for each one of us to do. Don't let the devil rob you of your Christian life. It's joy unspeakable. It's full of glory. If you'll serve Him, share the gospel with somebody. Share a tract with somebody. Me and Sheila pulled up down here between Wedowee and Woodland the other day. Little old boy, he got the stop sign, you know, the slow and go and stop. He had two earrings and had a thing in his lip. Did he have one in his eyebrow, too? I was the first one there. I got to talking to him. God said, give him a track. The devil said, don't give him a track. God said, give him a tract. So I reached there and I got one of the tracts. And I said, here, I want to give you something to read while you're standing here holding your sign. Talking to him, I asked him, you ever been saved? He said, yeah, I've been saved. And so, you know, very simple. Very simple. I could have passed up that opportunity and let the devil have his way. You know, we got opportunities every day. Every day in our life, we've got opportunities to just, you know, let somebody know you care. Let them know that Jesus cares. Who knows? Who knows what will happen from just handing out a little old tract? Might bring conviction. Might bring salvation to somebody. Amen? Stand with me.